Thank you again. It's indeed a privilege to be here today and this weekend and be a part of your conference. We are tremendously blessed to be able to share in fellowship and to build some new relationships and new friendships and just to build on other friendships that we've established over the last year. So thank you so very much for this privilege. I would invite you back this evening. It'll be a real treat. Men from our discipleship program, our foundations program, will be with us, and they will be singing, they'll be giving testimony, and you will be blessed as they share what God is doing in their lives. And as we present the ministry of the mission tonight, I feel it'll just be a real treat for you to hear these guys share. And they're not a professional choir, they're just men who've come to know the Lord, and God has met them at their point of need, and they just sing from their hearts, and but it will be a blessing, and so I do invite you back this evening. If you have your Bibles, would care to follow along in the reading of God's Word, if you turn with me, please, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9. And I'm going to begin reading with verse 35 down through the end of the chapter. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogue and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just bow in prayer, shall we? Gracious God, loving Father, we thank you for the privilege this morning to be in your house and the blessing we've already received through the ministry of music and the privilege we've had to sing praises to you, to lift up our voices as offerings lifted up before you, O God Almighty, to exalt your name, to praise your name. Thank you for the privilege to share in this time of worship and celebration of you. We just ask, O God, that you would draw our minds to the Word of God and to that which you want to share with us this morning. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher, that you would block from our minds all the distractions that Satan, the evil one, would lure in our path, and focus our minds and hearts on you and that which you want to do within us and among us. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we look many times, but don't really see. We've all been guilty of looking at something and it just goes by us. Situation, a place, an event, a circumstance, how many of you have driven your automobiles, and this is scary, and after going down the road a long ways, and suddenly you say, did I go by so-and-so? Did I? You know, it's happened to all of us. And to realize we're really out of gear, you know, mentally. and that's frightening. I know if there's any state police officers here, you'd love to hear that. but it's just the point is, we see, but we don't always really see, or we do not perceive what we're looking at. We don't really understand. We don't comprehend. We don't take it in. Mike Yankoski, in his senior year in a university in Southern California, talked with some of his classmates and was pretty torn up by the fact that there were a lot of hurting, needy people out there. And his pastor had challenged the church, through services like we're doing this weekend, to open your eyes to see people around you that are hurting. And Mike thought, you know, I drive 25 miles to church every Sunday, and I'm driving by people that are the homeless and people that are needy and people that are broken. And he said, I've never paid attention to those people. I've never really seen them. But through the challenge of the Word of God and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in his heart was really torn about the fact that they were hurting people out there. And so he found a fellow classmate that agreed to join him on a pilgrimage for an entire summer. And that event would mean that for 4 months that he and this other gentleman would live on the streets of major cities of America as homeless people. Mike journaled his events, and it's in a book written, it's called Under the Overpass. If you ever have an opportunity to read that, you can buy it at major Christian bookstores, but it'll rock your boat, I'll guarantee you. But as Mike shared in that book, and we've personally met Mike and been in places where he's ministered, and he's ministered with us in Charleston, Mike said that, first of all, his mom and dad are not saved, and they were blown away that he would even think of doing anything like this, and they were scared to death for his safety. But he had a few pastors that became accountability partners, and he had emergency contact numbers that he had available in the major cities that he had selected. He was in Washington, D.C., and in San Francisco, and in Denver, and I can't remember the other cities, Portland, I believe. But anyway, he had emergency contact numbers that he was in crisis that he could call. But he wanted to experience what it was to be homeless. He said, I know this is only going to last 4 months. And for me, I go back to normal life, college guy, upper class lifestyle. And I don't have to stay there. But for 4 months, he experienced it. He said the unique thing, and I could talk for an hour just on Mike's experiences, but I just want to highlight a couple of things quickly as a point of illustration. Mike shared that as he went into situations where he would meet people that would see him, adults would walk this way, never even to know that he was down there. But he said children would look at him and would wonder what he was doing. And he said, I got pretty grubby, unshaven, dirty, stank. He said, in the middle of the summertime in these major cities, he said, you get a shower once in a while, and he said he couldn't even stand himself. But a couple events, he told the story that he went to a subway shop. It wasn't Subway, but one of those kind of places where you get Subway sandwiches. And there was two prayer meetings going on, two Bible studies happening in that place. And he and Sam, his fellow traveler, as they were on this experience, went into the subway, and they had not eaten in several days. They could have eaten the signs off the wall that had the pictures of the subways, you know. They were that hungry. And so these Bible studies were taking place in this, and they were gathered in the corners. I mean, they'd pull chairs together, and these two guys, they said, you know, that we could smell this stuff, and we couldn't afford anything. But they were sitting in the corner, and they went over in the trash can, and they're picking out Subway remnants, stuff that people didn't want because they were either too full or didn't like it or it didn't taste exactly the way they expected. And so they were eating out of the garbage can. He said, you know, both of those prayer meetings, not one person even looked at them. They didn't exist. They sat in a table off to themselves, and these Christians that gathered to study the Word of God and were very intent, and they were from solid churches that believed the Scriptures, and these men and women gathered in their little groups and huddles, and he said, not one of them looked at them. They both had their Bibles. But neither group even paid attention. And people got up and left. Never offered them a morsel of food. Some of those people didn't even eat their meal. So they said, we quickly made it to the trash can also and picked up what was left over. If they hadn't eaten it, it was sure going to be pretty good. And he said another event, we went to a church, and it was a Friday night, and we camped out on the church lawn. And he said, you know, it was we felt that was a safe place to be. And it was kind of an upscale community, and so we camped out. And he said, early the next morning, we both woke up and we could smell eggs and sausage and potatoes and biscuits. And we could smell this aroma coming out of the church. He said, Mike said, I said to Sam, we're going to eat this morning. Man, you could smell that food. And this is the church. They're going to care about us, well, I'm sure. And he said, about 15, 20 minutes later, a guy came over and said, get out of here, man. Come on, get out of here. You don't belong here. This is church property. Get out of here. But we're Christian. No, get out of here. You do not belong here. This property is our church, and we don't want your kind here. Leave. So they picked up their stuff and wandered off to another location. That was Saturday morning. Sunday morning, they came to church there. They sat back in the corner, and they said, suddenly people just cleared all the way around them. They didn't smell too good. They didn't look too good. They hadn't had a shower in several days. At the close of the service, the very gentleman that had thrown them off the parking lot or off of the church property started hollering at the front of the church, hey, guys, wait back there. Wait, don't leave. And he said he was almost hopping the pews. To get to where they were. He went up and he hugged them. He said, forgive me, forgive me. Mike said, I stepped back and thought, what's going on here? You know, what's happening? The guy said, you know, I'm the gentleman who's in charge of outreach of the church. We go to the mission on Tuesday nights and we minister there. You were on our church property on Friday night. It wasn't our night to minister to the poor. Would you forgive me for being so calloused and hard and selfish to throw you off the church property? Can we do anything for you? Can we get you, can we take you to eat? Can we get you some shoes? Can we get you some clothes? Mike said he just poured himself over this to love us. But the ironic thing was the director of church outreach ministry said it wasn't our night to be at the mission, so I didn't take time. I wonder how often we pass people by that are really looking for the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, leading us. We might categorize them and say, well, they're probably not Christians, and you know, I really don't have time. We could go to the passage of Scripture, the story of the three that passed by a man that was broken and bruised and torn. The passage of Scripture we read this morning speaks that as Jesus came into the villages and the cities and the places of opportunity, he was always looking for people that needed truth and needed hope and needed the message of love, grace, and mercy. Scripture says wherever he went, he was teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He was touching people. He was looking for opportunities where there were people that would gather that he could give a word of love and grace. And the scripture says that he also would heal those that were broken and hurting. Jesus was super sensitive to opportunities. He was never inconvenienced by those that tore him away from his agenda for the moment. If we had time this morning to study passages of Scripture, I'd love to do it. You'd stay here with the rest of the day with us. I'd love to do that. But passages that talked about even as he was on another mission and someone would come up. If you remember the woman with the issue of blood that kind of stepped into the picture as he was on his way to minister to another. Well, the child had died. Yet the woman with the issue of blood came up and touched just the hem of his garment. And he stopped dead to say, "Well, who touched me?" In that culture, it was not unusual for people to bump into each other. It's like being in a subway or being in a crowded airport. You know, there's people bumping into people all the time. If you're at a sports event, that happens. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" He was not inconvenienced by the fact that there was someone in need. His disciples say, "You know, it's kind of, this is ridiculous. You're wondering who's touched you. All these people." He knew that that woman's need had been met as she had touched him. And that woman was embarrassed. She had an issue of life that was a degrading situation. And yet the Scripture says she told all as he asked and inquired of her need. He was not inconvenienced by the crowd of 10 lepers that were going down through the countryside. And he was on a mission. He was heading for a ministry. And they cried out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Ringing the cowbell because they were lepers. Crying out the words, "Unclean, unclean," and yet they screamed out the words, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." I'm sure the disciples said, "Hey guys, get out of the way here, move on. Jesus doesn't have time for you." I'm sure others said that as well. And he healed those gentlemen. One came back and fell at his feet to give him thanks. It was a Samaritan, a social outcast in his own way. Jesus was not inconvenienced by people. And I would say to you today, if you're here without Jesus Christ, if there's never been a point in time in your life when you realized you were a sinner in need of a Savior, Jesus Christ is not inconvenienced today. Right this very moment, he would love to stop by in your heart. He'd love to meet you right now at your point of need and come into your heart, forgive you of your sin, and save your soul. He would love to embrace you today with his grace, with his mercy. He'd love today to heal the hurt of your heart, forgive the sin of your life, and give you a brand new life, which we call being born again into the family of God. And he would not be inconvenienced at all just to stop right now in the quietness of your own heart if you would cry out, "Lord Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me." Right this second, Jesus would come into your heart, forgive your sin, and save your soul. That's how much he loves you. You see, as Jesus moved down through the countryside, he saw people in need. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. He saw that they were faint-hearted. He saw them as people that had just ready to give up, wanting to quit, wanting to throw in the towel, didn't even find any reason to go on. You know, our society is filled with those kind of people. They've turned to drugs, into alcohol, they've turned to sex, they've turned to crime, they've turned to ways and means to satisfy this brokenness of their own heart, a life that they cannot stand, and yet looking for answers to escape from reality. That's the world we live in. Some of us hide in other things. Some of you are workaholics. Some of us are foodaholics. Some of us are pleasureaholics. Some of us are fishingaholics, or huntingaholics, or cookingaholics, or house cleaningaholics. We've all got our things that we hide into. Sometimes we can go there and not have to face the things of life. They're a good place to go and kind of forget all everything else. And yet in the world in which we live, there are those who are trapped in these situations that's become their lives and that's their very life, and that's become the very thing that's destroying them, tearing them apart. And we who know the name of Jesus can provide for them hope and help and healing in Jesus Christ. Jesus saw the multitudes. The scripture says he was moved with compassion. You know, as we get so busy in the lives that we live, so wrapped up in whatever we're doing, we can see multitude of people that we don't even see need. We don't see people. We just see the masses. All of us turn off the losers. We don't like to be around losers. We turn off people with problems. We don't like to be around people with problems. We turn off situations that are kind of disgusting to us. We don't like to be like around those kind of people. We turn off things that make us uncomfortable. We don't like to be uncomfortable. You see, mentally, we have a switch inside that we just flip. And anything that does not kind of fit our so-called comfort zone, we have the capacity to flip that switch and we just kind of go on our merry way. As people all around us are crying out for us to help, give hope, love, I've got an ornery streak in me occasionally. I was speaking at a missions conference in a church, or not a missions conference, it was an Awana group meeting, they say. And I got there a little early on purpose, told the children's pastor that I would be there. But I said, you won't know me when I arrive. And so I was tempted to do that here, since only a few of you knew me, but I didn't do it. And I dressed up as a homeless person. I had on a wig that was, you know, a man's wig that was different and changed my entire appearance. The ironic thing, I was at the church where we are members of. And I got there about 30 minutes before I was, or 40 minutes before I was supposed to speak. And I sat outside on the ground by the door. And people just came in and out. And it was interesting, many people I know, and they went by, you know, as if I wasn't even there. And one person stopped and said, "Could I help you?" And I said, "No, I'm all right." It was getting closer to the time I needed to speak, so I went into the church and was kind of walking in the door here, went over to the, I didn't need to go to the bathroom, but I went into the men's room just to get out, just to create a little activity. Went in there, was in there a couple seconds, just stood around, waited, come on out, went to the water fountain. And by that time, two guys had come up beside me. "Hey, can we help you, sir?" You know, I didn't fit. I didn't look like everybody else there. I probably smelled like everybody else because I wasn't that dirty, but I didn't fit, you know. I talked to one of my board members for 10 minutes, and he didn't know me. And he asked me if I was hungry, and I said, "Well, I just eaten across the street at Kroger's in the trash dumpster. There was some leftover chicken that they had thrown out and some old sandwiches, so I just had that to eat." On and on we went, this dialogue back and forth. And one of the other guys went to get the pastor, and so I finally told my board member, I said, "Paul, this is Rex." With that, he took his fist and shoved it into me. But in my own home church, to have people walk beside me, around me, over, you know, ignoring me. And I thought, you know, that's no different than life. Every one of us walk by people every day. We walk by up and outers that are on their way to hell without Jesus, and we don't tell them about Jesus. They're at Walmart. They're on the job. They're in the classroom at school. Some are next door neighbors. We are so busy, we don't take the time. But all around us are hurting people. Last night I gave the statistic that in Scioto County, 20.4% of this county is classified as being living in poverty according to the 2009 census. There are kids in this county going to bed hungry at night. There's people in this county going to bed hungry at night. There's people in this county that are desperately, desperately, desperately needy, hurting, broken. The scripture says, we see our brother in need and we shut up our bowels of compassion. How dwelleth the love of God in us? Jesus talked to him when he saw the multitudes. He was moved deep down, deep in his being, moved with compassion. I need to stop to say, though, compassion and pity are two different things. Pity is a thought process that requires very, very little action, if any. And many times we have pity when we see a newscast that bothers us, an event taking place, or you hear a missionary tell about some situation in some part of the world, or we hear some crisis, and pity most of the time does not move us because we just see it, we read, we hear, and we do not react. Compassion moves us to respond. And the scripture says that Jesus then said to his disciples, by the way, he'd already ministered to them, these folk. He'd already met needs. He was moved with compassion as he saw them as sheep without a shepherd, but they were faint-hearted. And then he said to the disciples, the harvest is plenteous. The labors are few. Opportunities are unlimited all around us. There are people that are hurting. People that are desperately, desperately hurting. Harvest is plenteous. But there's only a few who are willing to move from spectator to participant. Only a few are willing to get involved in the game. Only a few who are willing to serve. And he said to the disciples, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. Guys, I want you to begin to pray that the Lord would send forth laborers into the harvest. We began focusing last night on the poor. Again this morning in the Sunday school hour. This evening we'll talk about a ministry that we do. We're involved in this. We do this 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Ministering with poor and broken people, that's what we do. My wife and I have had the privilege of being involved in this kind of ministry for 42 years. Ministry in Atlantic, in the ministry in Charleston has been serving for 99 years. That's what we do. But what's going to move my heart is every day when I fall on my face before God and saying, God, break me. Give me a heart of compassion. As I shared in Sunday school, move my heart, O God, for the things that move your heart. Break my heart for the things that break your heart, O God. God wants us to be moved with compassion, that we would say, Lord, use me. You say, but Rex, I don't feel anything. I see that stuff, but I don't know what to do. I get frustrated. I get challenged. I get confused. I'm not sure how to respond. I don't even know what to say. I just feel like it's not where I fit. I'm out of my comfort zone. He asked the disciples, and I would ask you this morning in the name of Jesus, that you would begin just to pray. Saying, God, there's a mission field all around us. There's people that I meet every day of my life, Lord. But would you open my eyes to see? Open my eyes to see. Would you do something in me that would bring you honor and glory? Would you just begin to work in my heart? If there's someplace, God, I can help just a little bit, if I can just fit a little bit somewhere in your plan, just show me what to do. I want to be your hands. I want to be your feet, but God, I don't know what to do. I'm totally, totally overwhelmed by all this stuff. But God, just begin. Begin a work in me. I challenge you this morning that you would cry out to God and say, God, would you open my eyes that I can begin to see people around me that I could touch. I could serve. I could just share Jesus. And then help us as a church. Help us as the body of Christ to know how to be your hands and your feet and your mouthpiece to minister to hurting, broken. Father, thank you so much for the privilege to be together this morning and to be in your house. Lord Jesus, you were broken on Calvary's cross when you were willing that they would drive nails into your hands and into your feet and put a crown of thorns on your brow when they pierced your side and outflowed blood and water mingled down. And you were broken, O God, for each of us who know you as Savior and Lord. You were willing to leave the perfectness of heaven to come to this imperfect world, to die for imperfect people, that we could be redeemed by your blood. Thank you for the day and hour that for each of us who know you, when we experienced a miracle, be born again into the family of God. And I pray for those in this sanctuary this morning that have never said yes to Jesus Christ, that even in the quietness of their own heart today, right now, that they would experience your touch, O God, in their lives. By today, they would invite you into their heart to forgive their sin and save their soul. If there's some here today out of fellowship with you, they know there was a day and hour they trusted you, but they're not walking in obedience. They would sense, oh God, that emptiness, that void in their hearts today, and would cry out, God, I want to fall in love with you again. I want to confess my sin, knowing you're faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And then, Lord, for each of us to know you, would you draw us to a point of saying, God, work in me. Open my eyes. That I see what you see. Open my heart to feel what you feel. And may I become your hands and your feet to do ministry in reaching others with the good news of the gospel. Lord, work among us. work in us. And through it all, may you be glorified, for we ask in Jesus' name.